Hi, my name is Gavin O'Mara. I'm the CEO and founder of FE News, and welcome to episode four of VocTech Futures. We're looking today, it's a really interesting episode actually around health and social care. And my anchor with me today, because this is totally co-produced, is Hilary. Hilary, I wonder if you could join me in the studio. How are you, Hilary?
I'm splendid, thank you, Gavin. Good morning.
Morning. This is totally co-produced between UFY VocTech Trust and FE News. And Hilary, you've pulled together a really interesting show. The pandemic showed more than anything just how important the health and social care sector is for
Absolutely.
everyone. There's one thing us all going outside and trying to do our bit of clapping and banging the saucepan, but I think it's quite interesting of what UFI, the wider sector, was actually doing at that time and before around supporting the health and social care sector. So just really briefly, because I want to bring in our guests, because Jeanette and Anne have been doing some really interesting stuff that have made real impactful change that affected all of us. I'm getting over COVID, and we've all sort of been through this weird stage, and I've brought it home to me recently just how much I needed it, but so did everyone else. So what have been the VocTech needs for the health and social care sector, particularly the staff in the health and social care sector?
Well, I suppose it falls into two categories: the ongoing needs of the sector and innovation in the sector, which needs to happen for things to change, and an immediate response to the pandemic. So UFI had our VocTech Now funding, where we I think about 11 of the projects that we funded were focused on key workers' health and social care, because we had an immediate need to get training, mandatory training, to make sure people were safe in care homes and in hospitals and cleaning and in all these spaces. And just needed to get the training to the people as quickly as possible. So we had organisations like CTC and Three Spirit, who are going on to do another great project with us on AI, having built on their experiences through VocTech Now. But everybody responding very quickly to get put new studios in so that they could film the content, because if you can't get in to work live with a patient, you still need to see live demonstrations of what these things are. So we're very proud of our VocTech Now response. But we've been working with health and social care for almost as long as we've been in existence. That one of our early projects, Cuppa Care, pioneered bite-sized learning. Because one of the challenges for people, particularly in the care sector who are domiciliary care, is they have no time. They're low-paid workers who often don't even get break allowances, who are having to drive between locations to look after the people that in their care. So it was all bite-sized. It was all chunked up so you could have it with your cup of tea. And I'm very pleased to say you got your mug, Kevin.
I was going to do it earlier, and then I was like, well, I'll talk, but I won't lift it. And then, anyway, that is really
You're
cool.
being
Like,
inducted into the... There you go.
technology starts with a T. Very good.
And then UFI on the bottom, but don't tip it on the tea. And Cuppa Care actually work with CTC during VocTech Now. So our projects do work with each other as well to share experiences across. But one of the big challenges at the moment is because they're still so incredibly busy, getting new technologies into trainers and into acute or long-term care organisations is really hard, because they're just so busy that any kind of innovation is really hard to get through. That we have a fabulous project called Spotless, which is about training cleaners in the care sector. They have a brilliant section called Doris Throws Up, which we all had to do as part of our testing of it. But it's live, it's real, it's what someone will actually meet as a cleaner in the sector on a daily basis. And that's what we try and do, is be relentlessly practical in funding things give real skills to people as they need them on the ground in their vocation. So we've done a lot. It tends to be underfunded as a sector. The organisations, many of them are charitable, because there just isn't that much money. So we are looking for innovations that will make life easier for everybody across the sector.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's interesting to talk about cleaning as well. I mean, the pandemic brought to the fore so much of the importance of cleaning for everything, didn't it? It's interesting you're talking there, because I want to bring in a guest, but I want to ask you a couple of things as well. This is
Go
a
on.
balance, isn't it? You talked about ways different projects are working together. If you're doing so many, projects in health and social care, how do you do the balance between encouraging collaborative working, but at the same time, there's that competition element as well? There's different organisations doing different things. How do you do the balance there?
It's a huge market. We really feel that there is room for more, certainly more than one project, and more than the ones that we funded so far. That care can be quite localised. We work with an organisation called Dumfries and Galloway, and they were particular to that area. They had a relationship with their local care commissioning group. So they really weren't in competition with anybody else, but they did choose to work with Cuppa Care to take some of their modules so that they didn't have to create things in the background, but they could deliver it out to their local area. And most of our projects are not in competition with each other. As I say, the market is very immature in this area for VocTech. So in 10 years' time, if they are competing, that would be fantastic. We would be delighted if there were too many projects and we really saturated the whole market with them. Yeah, as I say, adoption is the really key difficulty at the moment for innovative projects to get a sponsor, to get them into the sector.
Well, talking about innovative projects, should we bring in our guests? So we've got Jeanette and Anne. So Jeanette Griffin is with Barking and Dagenham College, and Anne Attridge is with Clixola. Anne, I wonder if you could come in. Jeanette, I wonder if you could join us in the studio too. And I'll pull this out. How are you? Hi. How are you both?
Hi there. Very well, thank you. Delighted to be here. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. Starting off, could I ask you both, because you're living it, you're breathing it, what do you see the VocTech needs in the health and social care sector to be? And I wonder, Anne and Jeanette, if you could give us like just a couple of lines, because I really want to delve into your project. So Anne, did you want to go first as to what do you see as the overall VocTech needs for health and social care?
Yeah, we're focusing primarily on the whole staffing issue. I think everyone is aware of staff shortages have been around for a long time, but they've been exacerbated now over the last 18 months. We hear about burnout and you know, there's some real doubt over the future staffing. Staffing is not just pouring money in, it's getting the people to actually do the jobs. So we're focusing on getting people into the NHS and also on actually helping them to get a job when they have all the qualifications required. And that's specifically focusing on non-native speakers. There's a lot of talent out there that we're not tapping into at the moment.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Jeanette?
Right, well, you know, our focus is really about retaining staff and trying to enable them to have better skills, but also to give them sort of career progression. Because specifically in domiciliary care, sometimes there's lack of career progression. So we're trying to, with the project, enable the carers to feel as though they've got that. And especially during the pandemic, it's been excellent because it's been giving them the skills that they need with very, very complex conditions that they deal with in the community.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I wonder if we could unpack both your projects a bit more. So, Anne, you talked about staff shortages. I mean, that is about as topical as you can get at the moment. And Jeanette, around retaining staff as well. So really, two really, really interesting guests actually thinking about this, not just for health and social care, but for everything, actually. Anne, I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit around the project which you're delivering, and particularly how you're working with your learners and delivering VocTech within that.
Yes. Okay. Well, as I said, we're focusing primarily on enabling non-native speakers. And we have obviously had a significant number always of international workers in the NHS, all levels, you know, from consultant right through. We became aware in our own local area, we work very closely with the largest college, FE College in Scotland. We became aware of an organisation that specifically tried to get local nurses and doctors through all the hoops that are required in order to get a job in the NHS. And there are a significant number of them just in our own area, you know, doing delivery driving and working for hospitality and supermarkets and so on. Qualified doctors and nurses unable to practice their skills. So in order to do that, they have to pass a mandatory English exam. And that's a Cambridge exam. And I would take my hat off to Cambridge Assessment. They have spotted the market for this particular group of people. And previously, they used to have to do exactly the same test and same results as you require to study at a university, which was random and not appropriate, not relevant for them. Also very difficult. So they've come up with a new exam called the Occupational English Test. It's at a very high level, but it's specifically focused on what you will do in a hospital. It's all clinically based. Right. There wasn't, however, a course that prepared people for this. There were just lots of practice papers around. So we decided, and we worked with Cambridge on this as well, as our local colleges, to develop the first digital course that would enable people, as Hilary said, to fit in the learning around the things they're doing at the moment, to maybe make ends meet for their families, but reach a very high level of English competence. So we're developing the first digital course for the occupational English test.
Yeah, that's cool. How are your learners practicing the skills that they're learning as well? How are you sort of wrapping this around? So is it competency and occupational as well?
Right. Well, we've always taken the view that learning has to be contextualised. It has to be authentic. Right. So and that's why we worked closely with the college, because they provided us with a lot of raw material, if you like, in terms of the kind of things that you encounter in a hospital. So we've divided the course into really quite discrete elements. The first module is all about the kind of thing you experience in your first day in a hospital. Right. So we take a nurse from Sri Lanka, as it happens. She's come to work in the NHS. And what's she going to find? How is it going to be different? Who's she going to talk to? Patients, colleagues, relatives, consultants, and just the whole idea of busyness of a multidisciplinary team in an NHS hospital. It's sort of basing all the learning on that and making sure that all the requirements about speaking, reading, listening and writing are involved in that. The second module is all about scenario-based learning. Because as well as passing the English exam, they also have to pass another exam where they're put into a role play situation, often with actors and an examiner with a clipboard, watching how they interact with patients, how they explain procedures to them, how they empathise with them in difficult situations. And so we've worked very closely with our local Royal Conservatoire of Scotland, who have an excellent voice performance department. And so we're able to build in a lot of the sophistication around communication skills that are essential for not just passing exam, but also for succeeding in a job. And the third module is all about obviously making sure that they are going to pass this exam. They don't get anywhere if they don't do that. And then finally, we worked with our local School of Art, Glasgow School of Art. They have a very sophisticated simulation and visualization department. And we created a simulation of an interview. So we give them preparation activities, and then we give them, we take them into a situation in real time where they're faced with an interview panel and avatars, and they have to answer questions. And it's just giving them that real experience of what it's like to go for an NHS position and get feedback on the responses that they've given. So it's all designed through the exam to a job.
And the joy of VocTech is that you can repeat over and over until you're comfortable. You can just keep on doing it until you've learned the skills that you need to move into that environment.
Yeah, definitely. And in a sort of controlled environment, because at the end of the day, sometimes you're giving people good news, but there's a lot of the time, unfortunately, people are in a crisis mode and you need real cool communication to be able to do that. You don't to be able to communicate not only to the patient, but also to family. So yeah, very, very cool. Jeanette, you've been so, so patient. Can we talk about your retention project? Because it's really cool to be looking at how we can bring in different people into the NHS. But how do we retain? We need to keep those people.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the project that we've looked at focused on helping people working on the go, like, you know, Hilary said before, they are quite time poor. So we've developed an app that enables them to do that. And it's very fast. So as they're going through their day, they might come across someone with a potential sign that they don't quite know what it is. And what our aim is really to keep people out of hospital, if we possibly can, through with carers, so they don't need hospitalisation. So it's to try to get them to identify where a person might be deteriorating, but they don't quite know what it is. But we've also coupled that, because we work with an organisation on the project called Care City, and we've worked on this project really excellently together. And again, they very much have got background in the digital arena. So we're working with them with lots of digital tools. So the carers have been introduced to these digital tools. So, and depending on what symptoms or signs they might be displaying, then they're going to do some observations. And again, it helps them because in a lot of these scenarios here, we've got people out in the community using some of these digital tools, like a digital stethoscope, so that they, all of these things are kind of, they learn about. And then what next? What do you do? So we've given them some of the anatomy as well and physiology so they can understand what's going on in the body. They then have the ability to take the measurements. And then we want them to know what to do next, who to call. So we give them lots of different scenarios. And what they will do is they will go through a scenario. They might call a GP. They might call 111. And we've given a little bit more confidence for them to be able to have those conversations. So we've given them what would be a sort of a conversation that they might have and what information is needed to make that conversation meaningful. So that the GP can make an informed decision about potentially whether or not that patient needs to come in. So they're not the clinicians here, but they are giving the information. And we think that's a really, especially during the pandemic, really valuable, where remote monitoring is becoming very widespread. So our students have actually, you know, participated in sort of making some of the animations, but they've also participated in testing the app, and, you know, being part of this kind of project is quite unusual for students, and then getting to sort of shape and influence future of the workforce, so they can see that they've got that place. So it's been quite exciting to look at how students can be involved in different elements of this project, and they've thoroughly enjoyed it. But they can see it because it could be their parent, their grandparent, somebody they know could be in this situation at home. So they can actually, in a way, they felt quite kind of able to see this situation for themselves. But we're really excited because I think it's giving students an ability to be part of the research that they would never have been part of, before, really live stuff.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the wider impact it's had on the college, but also the development stage, because I think that's really interesting. To the more and more we enable and engage learners, the more I think people are inspired by just the ability of what they can do to step in. Could you explain a bit more, Jeanette, around what the impact's had on the wider college, but also how learners have been involved in helping other learners with the process?
Yeah, as I said, the learners themselves, some of our team, our digital team, some of our students in them have actually developed some of the materials, not the content. The content's been given to them and they've used innovation. They've used characters to make this engaging for the people that are actually going through the app. So that's one side of it. And they have really come up with lots of original ideas that we've used in lots of other different things when we've brought it out into the public and to market it, if you like. And then our students at the college, we've got a range of students studying health and social care, but with things like access to nursing, we've also got access to paramedic science. So it's quite a broad brush that we've used here, and they can give the different elements of their courses. Because what we did with the app is the content we've embedded across some of the health and social content. So it's part of what they would be learning, but it's one in one place, whereas you wouldn't find that sort of scenario based in one unit. We've brought lots of things together so that it works. So in that case, they've learned a little bit about everything rather than just studying one unit. They've been able to see it in real life. So, I mean, the college itself, all of our, our senior leadership, they've all kind of downloaded the app and had a look and see what our students are actually capable of. And it's, and we can use that in other projects across the college, because that sort of journey, that's what we've done. We've made it a journey for a student, and we've made it a journey for a carer. So, and that can be replicated as well because they're scenario based. Because once you've got once you've got that sort of recipe right, you can roll it out to other kind of concepts, sort of mental health difficulties, which is another scenario based. You can use it, what to do next. So it's been really exciting for us.
Yeah, and it's been great for us to have your college principal as your senior sponsor.
Yeah.
That kind of buy-in at the top level in the college is fantastic for us to see, because then the rollout becomes a lot easier.
Yeah.
And Hilary, I was going to ask, that's really cool, isn't it? I mean, having different learners from a different, not on the same course, different courses getting involved, and there's all sorts of things you can wrap in there. Have you seen other projects that are doing this sort of thing as well, where you're getting wider learners coming in to actually be a part of a different project, to actually, it's enrichment as well, isn't it? You know, it's helping people understand different things.
Yes, we've had a number of projects where they've been kind of cross testing, where they've got a platform and they've seen some synergy with another project, and they use each other's learners as early adopters, testers, to see whether the platform would work. One of the things I loved about Jeanette's was the user engagement, how the users were consulted from the very start about what they wanted from this. And they didn't want a pathway that took them into management. They wanted to be carers. So now they are carers with an extended range of skills, which adds massive value for the people who are commissioning the care, because these people can be a much more effective part of the care package. But it also gives the carers a much more interesting job. But if we can get projects working together, we're always delighted. But and you had an earlier project with us, Anne, seeing that develop into this is also good to see the growth.
Yeah, definitely. So Anne, for you, what do you see for the future for your project? Because both of these projects are really vital now more than ever. We need to be bringing in more new faces, more blood, more diversity. At the same time, we need to be retaining. So Anne, what do you see for the future for your project, but also for the future of recruitment and onboarding for the health and social care sector, and how technology and particularly VocTech can help with that?
Yeah, well, I think we've got exciting plans as well. I mean, we can become a part of quite a number of different agencies that are all feeding into the situation, the whole assessment side of things, awarding bodies, the NHS themselves, NHS education. We're also significantly getting interest from a lot of overseas colleges whose nurses want to come over here. That has always been a huge prize for us, and we've got the opportunity to perhaps embed our course, because it's a fairly extensive course, and it's actually wrapped up in a learning management system, so they can get tutor support or they can work on their own. And what we have focused on, I mean, a lot of these nurses are coming very, very highly qualified, and you know, clinically they're no problem. But the real problem for them is the communication, and particularly the spoken skills and the accents they're going to encounter. And that's when we worked with a group of nurses from Refuge Aid and all over the country in London. That was the thing they focused most on. I can't understand people when they speak to me, you know. And so we've actually deliberately built in a lot of different range of accents, regional accents in the UK, but also overseas accents, so that they can hear, they can practice. We use some speech recognition technology, and just give them the opportunity to get feedback on how intelligible they are and whether they're actually expressing the right emotions in the right context. So it's just giving them that confidence that they can go into a hospital and they can understand, they can talk, they can communicate, they can do all the clinical stuff anyway. So getting that kind of approach and embedding it into much larger organisations, we think is going to really benefit the NHS in terms of recruitment and upskilling the staff who come here ready to take on the tasks in front of them. So that's the plan. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really, really cool. Honestly, communication is really key for a lot of the things that are happening in NHS, because a lot of the time people aren't in the best situation they want to be in, are they? You know, they're in hospital for a reason, and communicating how they're going to be helped or what's happening is absolutely key and vital. I mean, it's really interesting what you're doing around prior skills, prior accredited learning, prior experience, and how you can bring that into the fore as well. That's really, really interesting. Jeanette, because we're nearly running out of time, I want to ask you so many other stuff. Jeanette, what do you see for the future of your project? Because I think it's interesting where it's not just retention for people in dom care, but it's also the wider context of what you're doing with the college as well.
Yeah, I mean, for us, we're really excited because now we've come to the stage where we want to scale this up. We want to, you know, get it a little bigger than it could possibly be. And we've been really lucky to work again with Care City and some of the commissioners. And we're hoping that this is going to be part of a bigger rollout of remote monitoring in London. And this app could be part of that, because again, it's really important where we've got complex needs in the community that we can use as much as possible to spot signs of deterioration so the intervention can be sought early. And that's the key to this. So if you've got people that have the knowledge, they know what to do, they know what next steps, that will help with spotting deterioration early. So the remote monitoring is being rolled out across London. I think this app will be part of it, and it'll grow. And as I say, there'll be lots of other kind of scenarios that we can build into this, alongside all the digital tools that have been used out in the community now. Because a lot of our carers now, we want them to be skilled, we want to upskill them, you know, and hopefully recognition in their pay. Because that's the other thing. These are very skilled people working in the community, you know, quite often on their own. So this is a sort of a buddy system to them. And it's a mobile app that they can, on the go, that they can refer to. We've put a lot of different things into it for kind of their learning, that they can extend their learning. We've got things like, you know, glossaries in there that they can refer to. But we want to make this a potentially long-term, either introduce an apprenticeship into this kind of sector so that they will stay in the sector, because it's a really valuable workforce that we want to recognise across the board. And our students, I think, they're learning about this kind of workforce, whereas a lot of students might go into nursing, which is great, but we also need them in social care. And that's really important, that we keep them in health and social care, not just working in hospitals, but keep them in the communities and give them a career option. As I say, that's one of the things that we're looking at. And we're working with awarded bodies. There's lots of strands to this as well that we can utilise, you know, that we're not just using one thing. It's innovation and it's looking at different angles. And, you know, that's what we've been able to do with VocTech. They've given us the support, and it's very, in their fee, it's quite a luxury to have funding, you know, which isn't very constrained. So we haven't had, you know, very rigorous reporting, but not the constraints that we have with normal FE funding. So it's given us the opportunity to take perhaps some, you know, not risks, but looking at things.
Well, we hope so. We hope you have taken some risks. That's what our funding is all about.
Innovation that's only right, comes through risk, doesn't it? You know, you've got to have the confidence to step out.
Had, you know, creativity. It's allowed us to have that and allowed us the time to have that. Because we started with a discovery project, which was, which gave us that opportunity to do that, which you don't get in FE. You don't get that luxury, you don't get that funding. So this has given us that time. So it's an opportunity that we will hopefully work on other projects as well. Because I think the college now, you know, they're very excited to work on, you know, on different parts of the college to go in for more funding, for more projects. And we've got a good project team that can do that. But lots of people have been involved in this project across the college, not just the team that are working on it. So it's well known in the college.
No, that's really, really cool. Our time is done. And I think that's really interesting, Jeanette, around now more than ever, the health sector, so NHS in general, but also the health and social care sector, is being asked to be as efficient as possible. And I think, you know, there's, you know, different ways we can use technology to equip the staff, to recruit the staff, to retain the staff is this absolutely key. We have literally about a minute left. So, Anne, can I ask you, if you could dream and dream big, what would you want to see for the future of the VocTech in the health and the social care sector?
I think really, we've always been an organisation that's focused on innovation, and that, as Hilary said, that means taking risk. Give the FE sector the chance, the opportunity to be creative, to be disruptive, to be different, to take those risks, and to work perhaps with companies like us who are edtech specialists. Partner with us, and we would love to help you on that vocational journey.
That's cool. Jeanette, what would you want to say?
yeah, let our students, again, get the opportunity to shine, because they do. They've got so many skills, such imagination, and it's a great opportunity for them to be able to show their talents and to be given to work with different companies, for them to have the ideas, because they're our future. They're our future workforce. They're our future innovators. So it is about giving them the opportunity.
That's great. Hilary, what would you want to see?
I think this is all about VocTech as an enabler, and it's more people seeing that this isn't a threat. This is a tool that you can use to make your teaching better, to make your delivery better, to make the experience of your learners, of those professionals out there in the vocations, better. It's about, you can do different things, and you can do them remotely, you can do them in short periods of time. VocTech, used well, can be a tremendous opener of doors for lots of things that we could never do in the past. And it's using the opportunity of the emerging technologies to really push the boundaries. Our funding is patient, it's flexible. We can allow projects to pivot if they find something new. And that's one of the wonderful things about working with UFI, is that our funding is so very flexible to do what it needs to do to help the VocTech to get where it needs to get.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. Everyone, I just wanted to say thank you so much for your time today. And thank you, and Jeanette, thank you. I mean, honestly, you're delivering stuff to heroes, what, over the pandemic period, but before, and certainly a long time after. So thank you for helping attract and recruit, and help thanking to retain and to equip, because they might just, if we can help, it'll be learners for lifelong, and to continually equip. Not being funny, when I feel ill and I need to go in the hospital, I want someone as equipped and trained and as able to be as good as possible. This is totally co-produced, and Hilary and Thomas, thank you so much for all the time you put into putting together such a great episode today. Thank you. And I hope everyone in the office, at home, wherever you want to be, because you can watch this whenever you want, been a really, really inspired, not just only in health and social care, but how can I match this into different sectors as well. Yeah. FE News team, thank you. Leah, thank you for making all the magic happen here. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Finley. And we will see you 9:30 next week for episode 5. See you really soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.